you live in Seattle, you've got a big decision to make. The mayor's not running again. You have until August 1st to make your choice and get your primary ballot in. So KOW is helping you get to know the leading candidates. And right now, I'm with former state legislator Jessen Farrell. Welcome, Jessen.
Thank you so much for having me.
You were born in Lake City or Lake Forest Park?
Born in Lake City.
Raised in Lake Forest Park?
You could say that, yeah.
Fan of lakes.
Fan of lakes.
Always around lakes. You led the saxophone section in the Husky Marching Band.
So I did.
Where the signature song was?
Tequila.
Yes, of course. As ever, as it was when I was there, before your time. I understand you just told me before we opened up the microphones that you're playing a little more sax here in the coming days.
I'm going to. There's an event tomorrow night put on by the Washington Bus called The Candidate Survivor, and I will be playing an acoustic version of Careless Whisper by George Michael. Come check it out tomorrow night at Numo's.
I am rearranging my life right now so that I can be there for that. 4 years in the Washington legislature, what was the best thing you did in Olympia?
It's actually 5 years. I'll take
five
that.
Years.
Fifth year.
Okay, right, right. That's right.
You know, I think the most exciting thing that I did with colleagues is pass authorizing legislation for Sound Transit 3. We need light rail throughout the region, and a piece of that legislation was to build affordable housing near transit centers, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Excited to see it come to fruition.
Speaking of transit, we'll talk about the bus side of that here in a few minutes. And I know you're had been a transit advocate your whole professional career. You have left the legislature after those 5 years to run for the mayor of Seattle. Wasn't that an awful big risk? What if you don't win?
It was a big risk, but we have big challenges facing the city. And, you know, people are getting left behind. The affordability crisis is playing out with people, whether you're a renter, you might have lived in your house for 40 years and you're worried about property taxes or downsizing and where you'll go. You might be worried about getting into the market. And these decisions around land use and transportation and other services are going to play out with a great deal of urgency over the next few years. And I hope that we can get it right.
Yes. In fact, we asked KOW listeners to name Seattle's biggest challenge. And I won't surprise you when I quote Chase, who writes, cost of housing, cost of housing, cost of housing. What would you do about the cost of housing in Seattle?
We need a big, bold plan on affordability. And to me, that looks like a citywide plan that has every single neighborhood included to be taking on additional income diversity and additional affordable housing.
Does that mean upzoning single-family neighborhoods?
There are a whole variety of strategies that our neighborhoods can use. Some neighborhoods need upzones, especially where we're putting great transit investments. But there are a lot of other things we can do. Community land trusts, where we're trying to get people into an ownership stake. Mother-in-law apartments are another option. There are a whole set of strategies that we can use, and we need a neighborhood-by-neighborhood plan where we're working with our neighborhoods. I don't think there's a cookie-cutter approach to growth, but at the same time, as a community, we need to be realistic about what it looks like to accommodate all of the people who want to live here, which I think is a great thing.
Not cookie cutters. So neighborhoods that are not where there are transit stations, can they be spared a single-family neighborhood upzones?
Again, I think that what I would love to see is to go to a neighborhood and say, we need to put this many units of affordability in this part of town to reach our goals of, say, accommodating 100,000 people in 10 years. And then working with the neighbors to say, well, what does that look like? Does that look like 3- and 4-story buildings on one street, but maybe not so much on another? Does it look like a lot at a transit center? If you have city-owned surplus property in your neighborhood, do we put affordable housing there? If there's a large entity like UW, for example, that's going through a master use planning process, maybe we're asking them to provide workforce housing for adjunct professors and others who may not be able to buy into the market. So I think there are a lot of different ways to get to a citywide plan on affordability, but we need to do the planning part.
Talking with Seattle mayoral candidate Jessen Farrell, Natalie on Facebook says, Seattle can't seem to manage its own money. Revenue at an all-time high, and we keep getting asked for more. Are Seattleites overtaxed?
There is no doubt that the tax system that we have in Seattle is upside down. And as a legislator representing the 46th District, which is Northeast Seattle, a part of the city that has voted for taxes, I have heard over and over again this year how people are feeling overtaxed. And that's because regular people are paying too much, and we're not asking the wealthiest corporations, we're not asking the wealthiest among us to shoulder a little more of the burden. I think we all believe we're in this together, but we can't keep going back to property taxes and sales taxes.
Seattle City Council is voting on an income tax today. Are you pro or con income tax?
I support that, again, for that same value, which is that we should be asking the wealthiest among us to help pay their fair share. We know that there are some constitutional issues. I think it's a great role for the city to push the envelope. We've done that on minimum wage. We've done that on paid sick leave. And we should do that on our tax system. This is the right thing to do.
And if those constitutional issues make it so that an income tax is not going to happen, then what's the number one more progressive tax solution you're behind in Seattle?
Let's ask developers to pay impact fees. As we are accommodating growth, again, which I think is a good thing, we love the fact that we have a vibrant economy and people want to live here. But at the same time, we need to be providing more services. And I think developers should pay impact fees. We do that in other jurisdictions nearby. And we need revenue to pay for our schools and our sidewalks and public safety. I think that's a way to do it.
You said you are a fan of growth. I don't know if you use the word fan, but the growth is good. I do hear from KUOW listeners who say if an economic boom doesn't pay for itself, we get is higher prices and more congestion and homelessness and higher taxes. What's so great about growth? Why should we want to grow at all?
Let's reframe that and say, what's so great about cities? I think the real issue is that cities need to work for people. As we are wrestling with climate change, as we're wrestling with all of the many issues that face our region, we need cities to work. We need people to be able to live in a city where there is affordable housing, where there is affordable childcare, where you can get around on foot and by bike and by transit. And so to me, the issue isn't pro-growth or anti-growth. It's that in this era, we need our cities to work.
On Facebook, Rex says the biggest challenge is the grotesquely overinflated real estate bubble. Sooner or later, the bubble will burst. What about a Seattle bubble? What do you think the odds are of a bust cycle under the next mayor?
That has to be on our mind. I worked at Pierce Transit during the Great Recession, which is the transit agency in Pierce County, and we were faced with cutting 30% of bus service. That was a huge change for that community. And so my notion around government services is that we have to be stewards of tax dollars, because there are those times where times aren't as good and we may be moving in that direction. It's hard to tell, but certainly the speculation is a part of the issue.
By the way, we're speaking with Jessen Farrell, who is running for mayor in Seattle, 5 years in the state legislature and a long history as a transit advocate. And we asked your questions on KUOW's Facebook page. Yakov says Seattle's biggest problem is the rising cost of living and the gap between the rich and poor. We've talked about an income tax here, which you support. Zach says Seattle's biggest challenge is addressing its own white supremacy. How racist is Seattle?
I think that this is a city that is clearly divided in racial lines. It is written into our land use code historically. It's written into our school system, into our policing system. And I think that as a community, we need to be wrestling much more openly with race. And that means how we're allocating resources, who's at the table in decision making. And I think that point is really on.
The point of Seattle's white supremacy, because I also hear from listeners sometimes who say that the white supremacy rhetoric is overblown, that there's this exaggerated Seattle guilt about race. But, it's a thorny issue. How do you feel
about
that?
Well, I think we look at outcomes. I mean, if we truly believe that we want a society where every single person in our community is nurtured and is thriving, we don't have that. We have a school system where children of color are not getting the resources they need to succeed. We have disproportionate impact on communities of color in terms of policing. We have disproportionate impact of people in terms of the cost of housing. So I think when you look at it through that lens, you have to say, what do we need to be doing to dismantle, the white privilege that is just intrinsic in the systems that we have in this city. And that's part of what the next mayor needs to be doing.
We're also talking about opening up America's first supervised injection site or safe injection site for drug users. Do you support that? And if so, where should that go?
I have represented Lake City in the legislature, and I know that that's an issue and that's a community that's concerned about it. But here's what I would say. We have people who are using already in our communities, whether it's in an alley or whether it's in your backyard. I mean, the problem is that use is happening where we are in our communities. And so we need safe places where people can get services, can get help. At the same time, I think the dialogue with neighbors has to be, what is it that you need to make this safe? You know, what kinds of public safety services does the city need to commit to? Maybe there are things around the built environment, better lighting. So there's a dialogue that has to happen with our neighbors in terms of where we're going to site that and what services the community needs to feel comfortable with this kind of thing. But as a general rule, I support safe injection sites.
Here's a question for Seattle mayoral candidate Jessen Farrell. Key Arena or Soto?
I have wrestled with this issue as a transportation nerd.
So not just basketball and hockey, but wrestling.
Wrestling, that's right. That's right. Actually, I'm more of a basketball player of all of those things. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is the transportation issues in both places are real, but I have come down on supporting Soto because I think that you can mitigate the freight mobility issues easier. There are more funding sources. There are different ways to do that than getting people in and out of Key Arena. So from a transportation standpoint, both places need to be dealt with, but I think that the Soto Arena has more options for how you protect the freight mobility, you protect the industrial lands, but I think there are more resources for those kinds of transportation fixes over there in Soto.
What do we do with Key Arena in that case?
Well, I think if we're going to have a developer build something with Soto, we ask them to help pay it off for sure, and we can use that venue for a lot of different things. But I think that would have to be part of the deal.
Okay. As one person put it, where should grown men fight on ice skates in this town? So in this case, Soto more than Key Arena. Should Seattle taxpayers have to pay anything for an arena?
I think it would be great to see if we can do it without that. No. I think that there are a lot of things that we need to be funding related to homelessness and other issues, and I think that an arena is probably not the best way to use our tax dollars.
Speaking of homelessness, Seattle's new 24-hour homeless shelter, the Navigation Center, opens this week. When it comes to homelessness, we could agree on a lot of things. What is Seattle getting wrong, if anything, right now in its approach to homelessness?
I think that there has been certainly a learning while doing over the last 4 years, but I think that we need to be much more urgent around finding people safe places to sleep at night. I think the 24-hour shelter model could be working as we put that in place, but I think that one of the things that has not had enough of an emphasis, particularly as police and parks department folks are moving people around in parks and that kind of thing, is there's been a real lack of support for mental health and the relationship building that needs to happen so that people feel like they can trust the system and be able to come get help. And so I would like to see more resources put towards that relationship building with unhoused members of our community so that people feel like they can trust the system and find help that way.
Well, our time is closing, Jessen Farrell. As you're running for mayor, when you walk out of the studio, what would you say? I can't believe Bill Radke didn't ask me about this. I give you the floor.
Okay, so here's what I would say. Number one, as a legislator, I know how to work with city council. That's something that's really key for the mayor to be able to do. Number two, I've worked at the executive level in government, and I have a great appreciation for how to steward tax dollars, work with big budgets, and work with a big workforce to deliver the basic services that we all need. And thirdly, I've been a community activist, and this is a city where our neighborhoods really care about what happens and want to be asked and want to have a true meaningful stake. And as we are accommodating all of the folks who want to come live here, I think that background for me would really help move the ball forward.
Finally, I ask this not to drive a wedge, just because there's a mayor we have in mind. We know Ed Murray. So I want to know if your mayor 4 years from now, people, Seattleites, will say the biggest difference between Mayor Ed Murray and Mayor Jessen Farrell is what?
We have a plan to accommodate the tens of thousands of people who are going to come here and to keep the city affordable.
We don't have enough of a plan yet?
We don't have a plan. I want a neighborhood by neighborhood plan.
Okay. And finally, of all finalies, since you said that you're going to be playing Careless Whisper, and soon. I mean, it's coming up soon for you. Is it alto sax or tenor sax?
It's alto sax.
I was wondering if we could play a candidate, a little bit of Careless Whisper on our way out.
Let's play a little bit of Careless Whisper on our way out.
Let's
do it. That sounds great.
And so again, Jessen Farrell, former state legislator, still a sax player, running for mayor of Seattle. The ballot, your ballot is due, primary ballot by August 1st, and we can catch you at Candidate Survivor.
Candidate Survivor, tomorrow night at Numo's.
Tomorrow night at Numo's. I think we all know there's no comfort in the truth. Pain is all you'll find. George Michael, take it away. And Jessen, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hit it, George. The sax solo comes right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're not waiting around for the saxophone. High C is difficult. I didn't know that. Okay, sorry, George. Go on.